Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Hallelujah. You know the scripture says that at the time of the year, when the kings usually go to war, 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I remember when I first read that, I said, it happened in the spring of the year at the time when kings go out to battle. I thought to myself that, what kind of people are these who just go to fight just because it's springtime? So it's time to fight, so they go and fight. There is no grievance. There is nobody who has attacked you. There is nothing. You just go out to fight, for no other reason aside from the fact that it is time to fight. So every spring, they are to go to fight. At the time of the year when kings go out to battle. That's what I wanted from that scripture. Leave the rest. Now, so I imagined, what kind of people were these? But then you see, when you read throughout, you realize that if you didn't go to battle, battle would come to you. Because it was not just one king that went to battle. People always went to battle. So somehow you were going to end up fighting. So if you didn't go and look for the fight yourself, the fight would come and find you where you are. Because these people were territorial. Everything about them was about territory. They had to expand territory. There is no time when people were looking for safe spaces and saying, you know, we are comfortable and we are not going out. Actually, at the time when people thought that they could live in peace without antagonizing everybody, is the time when the battle came to them. And I'm speaking specifically about, you know, Israel and Judah. That's when the battle came to them. So somehow, they had to go to battle all the time, especially in the days of David, because that was his, you know. He had to go to battle and kill some people and slaughter and do what. Now, you see, the thing is that these are the days of what? Of David. Praise the Lord. The tabernacle of David. Like, my point is, we have to be as territorial as that. And some of the things that people have, that we've been through throughout the years, the kind of person that David was wouldn't feature anywhere in our books of people who are men of God. Imagine if you were to get David out of the time he was and transplant him into today's, you know, church, for instance. I mean, people would find fault with him big time over all sorts of issues that you can think about. All sorts of issues. So I remember one time way back, I asked myself, because when I read the story of Hezekiah, who was so many generations after David, when he got a message from the prophet Isaiah, that put your house in order because you're going to die. And Hezekiah, the scripture says, turned towards the wall and cried out to God and said, remember, Lord, how I have served you all these days. Now, when Isaiah was still in the courtyard, the scripture says, walking out, the Lord told him, go and tell Hezekiah that because of my servant David, not because of what you've been telling me, all that is rubbish. Because you're a descendant of David, I'm going to give you 15 more years. Go and tell Hezekiah, that says the Lord, the God of David, your father. I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. Sure, I would add to it. Because of David, it has nothing to do with you. Then look to what he said. Go back to what Hezekiah said to the Lord. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord. And said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and I've done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. But, okay, your tears are good, but because you're a descendant of David and you have the blood of David flowing in you, I'm going to add you more years. Now, I mean, when I read that, I said, what did David do that pleased God so much that all these generations later, he's still making him a reference point, a reference. Yet in actual sense, if you are to look at it from where, you know, whatever stands, I mean, David was a very, very, he had a lot of drama. There was drama around his life. He was, You could even say he was a confused person. Totally. He could not look after his, there are so many things about him that I didn't understand. But, there's something he did which pleased God so much that he remained a reference point throughout the generations. So now, the point is this. We are in a time where everything is going to have to be territorial. And if people choose not to go and be territorial as the days, those days, then they will watch people run them over. Because the time calls for such. The time does not call for anything that we've been teaching before. Of, you know, the church that was, which was based on morality, and butu kirivu, feturi batu kirivu. Now, of course they are not. The people who say that the most are the ones who are the least. But you see, when the people understand that the time in which we live is a very, very special time in terms of gaining territory. And then you understand that we are living in the end times. But what makes it the end times is us. We have to be the ones to prepare the world and impose the kingdom of God and then now tell Jesus, you can come, things are in order. There's a certain stupid minister who has a head like a block. He's called Kahindo Tafiri, a very stupid man. He said that why would Jesus come to this earth? The earth is full of confusion. And of course, he keeps on mocking Christianity. That's his thing. But of course, he's a witch. You see? And then stupid Christians who are stupid as him call him to church to talk because he's a minister. Then he comes and mocks them on the pulpit. Very stupid man. Very, very stupid man. A general. So he says, why would Jesus come to this confused earth? However, even stupid men are capable of what? One good thing that comes out of them every once in a while. And the truth is that it is up to the church to impose Christ until such a time when now we say, now Lord, it's ready. You can come. This is your world. Amen? Of course, the power we use is the power of his spirit. But then we are the ones who have to go and make things happen. And then present the world to him as now we are ready to receive you. You remember what happened when the angels came, when Christ was, ascended into heaven. And the angels came and stood before his disciples when they were marveling at, seeing him ascending. And he said something that, this Jesus in like manner will come back. But then he said something that whom, I think, is that where it said whom heaven must keep? No, I think it's Peter who said it in his discourse. He said, whom heaven must keep until all things have been put in order. Now, heaven must keep Jesus until all things have been put in order. By who? By us. Praise the Lord. By who? Now, we have to present and put everything in order in this earth and impose the government of Jesus on this earth. Then we tell him to come. Now we are ready to receive you. Praise the Lord. Amen? If you read Isaiah chapter 9:6, for unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Go ahead. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it. Somebody said to order it. Now, if it's disorganized according to that stupid man, it's our work to do what? Now, the government is upon his shoulders, and it's our duty to order it according to his thing. To order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, our work is to order the government. I mean, by order, I don't mean order. I mean, put it in order. Amen? The government is upon Jesus' shoulders, and our duty is to put it in order. Put everything on the world in order. In a certain way, to present it to the Lord as we are ready. And by the way, now I'm sure all of you know very well that it's not just us who are doing that. The kingdom of darkness is trying to do that. They are trying to create a world where they will tell the Antichrist, now come. We have funzad these people. They are all in key and lock. Now it's time for you to come and reign. That's what they are trying to do. And that's what the scripture says. And that's what they planned, they intended to do with the whole COVID thing. And now you see they are in flight and they're suffering so many losses. But you see they are holding on to COVID. I was seeing the other day, World Economic Forum, and that old man, Klaus Schwab, you see, this is the COVID, like it is, for them COVID was like ground zero. They wanted it to be something where now from there there is no peace in the world after that. But of course, as the scripture says, the Antichrist tries to change times and seasons and fails. So they were trying to have control over the world before their time. Okay? And they cannot have it before their time because their time will come after the rapture. But now they can't. Now I was seeing them talking and they were being mocked by everybody. Now nobody is listening to them. I remember, like in 2020, at the peak of, not actually 2021, at the peak of COVID, that same man stood there and said, the future of the world is determined in this place. Now he said that again, and now I laughed. That time he said it, and I was scared. I said, but what if actually these guys are? You know, because it looked like almost they could do it. But now, you can see they are being stripped. It's like somebody who has lost. And it's 5-0 in extra time and says, we still have a chance of winning. And you say you're lying yourself. You've lost. And they just, so now when he said this, he said the same thing. The future is shaped by us in this room. Then I looked and I laughed. I said, man, you have lost big time. And now it's so clear. And now because, first of all, they've lost America, of course. Then, of course, Trump, they put him on a big screen. He doesn't even go there. They put him on a big screen to talk. And he shares all of them. He tells them they are useless. Their climate change agenda is hopeless. He's, for them, their patriotism. The future does not belong to globalists. He basically sticks out the middle finger to them. Right in front of their congregation. Like, and it was so sweet to see. Eh? It was just so nice. because those guys wanted to squeeze us. Eh? Like they were determined to squeeze us. Now you see they are still trying. Because the devil is never going to go down without a fight. You have to know that. But you can now see that who is on the winning side. And now they are no longer talking. There's the other guy who, again, I used to like. Okay, not like, but, you know, like, because the guy would talk with confidence. What was that? That Jewish guy, what was he called? Neval Harari. Eh? The guy would say, you know, the future, what is what? You think he's God. Now he's nowhere. He's nowhere. And now, all they are, by the way, let me tell you, everything that they have planned, you see all those people, they have one thing, all of them have one thing in common. Either they are homosexuals, or they are transgenders, or they are married to transgender, because the devil does not get you to do things unless you are those things. You see, eh? So now all those people, you see the Prime Minister of Canada is a complete woman. Even that Harari man, the other day I was hearing him giving an interview and he said, you know, my husband, man, you just want to throw up. But that's how the devil has deceived the world. Like stupid people, very stupid. And now, even the Prime Minister of Canada, I saw him sitting like what? Like a woman, like this. There was a picture of him sitting and I said, look at this man. Like, then he's somebody's wife. But now they had managed to put all those people in leadership in different places. And by the way, let me tell you, don't fool yourself. Leadership is important. That's where everything is. It is not in being in churches and doing morality and what. It's not going to help. Leadership is important. If you still had any doubt about it, I think what Trump has done would, like, whatever. First of all, cut, you know, now I'm telling you. All these climate change things, homosexuality, what, all of them, phew, the money gone from America. Can Europe sustain it? They can't. They are broke. They were depending on America's dollars. And now, you see what God can do when somebody is willing to stand up and fight. You understand what I'm saying? Like, as long as you're on the fighting field, nothing can happen to you. Of the weapons that are mentioned in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, all of them, there is nothing that protects the back breastplate, a shield, what, everything is for the forward, for front. Because you are not expected to what? To turn your back and run. Because he's using actual weapons which used to be used in war, but describing warfare. And all of them is for attack. So there is nothing that can happen to you as long as you're attacking. Now, people who are want to, that's the thing of the time of the year when it was time to go for war. So either you're expanding your territory or you're losing it. If you don't go to war, war will come to you. That's, it was just like that. So now this is the time to order everything according to the kingdom of God. Order everything. If you look at, let's start from the Revelation 17, where it talks about the 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour, 1 hour being symbolic for a short time, as kings with the beast. So it says, the 10 horns, go back, it says the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings, but they are kings without a kingdom yet. So their work is to go out and carve out a kingdom, but they are kings. Selected as kings, but they don't have any territory. And now the devil has sent them to go and get territory. So they are telling us that this future is this room. They are trying to get territory. Okay? Now, it says, they have received authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. Go ahead, verse 13. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. Now it's saying that after they have carved out their kingdoms on this earth, the purpose is to give everything to what? To the beast or to the Antichrist. And they had how many kings? How many kings? Yes. And now their purpose, just let's go and get authority in different areas, different kingdoms on the earth. These kingdoms might be geographical. They might be, in tech or somewhere, all manner of kingdoms. And let us present them to the Antichrist. That now here it is. Use it. Now if you want to know for sure that these people are trying to change their time. You remember what we talked about at the last conference about the metaverse. You remember the metaverse? It failed so spectacularly. It is going to work at some stage in future. But it failed because they were trying to come ahead of their time. You see? And you see, they don't determine times and seasons. God does. So they were trying to create this metaverse. People go in there and what? And people invested a lot of money in it, thinking it's going to be the next big thing. And it all crashed. Now, I was seeing today I think, or yesterday, Zuckerberg settled out of court to pay Trump $25 million for canceling him off Facebook. Now then you know they have lost big time. Like, that's real, like defeat, where your enemy is ready to give. like, you've lost big time. Big time. Because now, the other time, is misinformation, off Twitter, off Facebook, off what? Now they are saying, please come back and we also give you $25 million for the crime of removing you off. Man, it's nice to be a winner, when everybody comes and does what? And has to bow down. Even Bill Gates went and what? But for him, he's still in resistance. But he will go down. Because he was waiting for one. But Bill Gates is in trouble, by the way. You wait and see. Now, all those people, the future is what? The future is here, not there. It in Davos. Those guys, man. And you know the thing is, they say, they will eat the bugs. Now, that meat is bad. Because cows fart a lot and that they cause climate change. I've never even had a cow farting, but somehow. Maybe I don't know if human beings also cause climate change. But, the same way. But can you imagine that they release methane and it affects the climate. And then, so they are going to get rid of meat and do artificial meat made in the laboratory. Then they will eat the bugs. Then you start eating crickets and cockroaches and what. That's the plan. That was the plan. And you see, the thing is, they state it. Because that's a spiritual thing. They come and say, this is what we are going to do. By 2030, you will own nothing and be happy. And they state their thing. Now, of course, when you state something, it is win or lose. Now, the trouble is some people here fear to state where they are going. You say, how can you? What if it doesn't happen? Let me tell you, the only way you're sure it will not happen is if you don't say it. You have to say something and say, this is going to happen. And look your enemy in the face and say, I, Joseph Kabuleta, am going to be the president of the Republic of Uganda, whether you like it or not. I've said it. And there is nothing any clown here can do to change that. You see all those clowns there who are, clowning? They can't do anything. You say, you're just David versus Goliath. This day I'm going to cut off your head. Can you imagine how stupid David looked? A 17-year-old boy killing a giant of 9 feet. 9 feet. That means get the tallest basketballer and add 2 feet. With 6 fingers and 6 toes. And this cowboy is saying, today I'm going to cut off your head and feed your what? So that the people might know that you're God. I'm sure even David was scared. Praise the Lord. Anyway, my point is, these are of one mind and they will give their power and authority to the beast. One mind. Now, the question is, they have their 10. We also have our 10. These are categories. These are kingdoms. They are also looking for a kingdom. We are also looking for a kingdom. Each one of us are trying to carve out a kingdom, and we go and present it to the Lord, that now this is yours. Uganda is yours. I am the president, so this country is yours. Come and chillax here in Uganda. You can even, you understand? That's what it means. You go and create a kingdom and present it to him as yours, as his. Praise the Lord. Now, then he says, they will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Praise the Lord. Now, they don't make war with the Lamb. With the Lamb. You understand? They make war with the Lamb. With the Lamb. With us. Who are of the Lamb. Those people are not going to fight Jesus. Jesus is God. They are fighting the people of Jesus. And they are going to make war with us. The people of the Lord. And it says, those who are with the Lord are called chosen and faithful. I don't know what they are called. They are called Zeulit Zebags. But now, so it's war. And each one is trying to carve out their own kingdom. To present it to their master. That's where it is. Now if you look, if you read Luke chapter 19, start from verse 11. It says, Luke 19 verse 11. Now as they had these things, he spoke another parable. Because he was near Jerusalem. Now when it says he was near Jerusalem, it means he was near Jerusalem for the last time. Because you see, according to the law, every Jew had to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. And Jesus went, Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and Passover. So all throughout his life, even when he was a child, remember when he got lost when he was 12 years, all the people had to go to Jerusalem. And then after worshipping, they go back according to the law. But now, Jesus is going into Jerusalem for the last time on Passover, where he is going to be the Passover lamb. So he's approaching the city of Jerusalem where he's going to be killed. And now, so he says that he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem. Now he's nearing the end, his destiny. And because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Now this is, for the most part, a large thinking of how the church thinks. When you get a bit of spiritual experience and what, people get so comfortable in the church setting, and they want to be in church and, and pray. And of course we have to pray and basically, congregate and be there. And then they forget that the purpose of all of this is territory. Now this is what Jesus was telling them in this parable. Because he says now they thought the kingdom of God is near. And I remember thinking that when the Lord is soon returning, and it's almost like he's going to return tomorrow. He's not. You see? But he's soon returning. That's the reality. But there's a lot to be done. We are the ones who have to make it happen and then present the earth as now we are ready for you. Praise the Lord. Now he says, so he gave them this parable because they thought that this is it. You know, we are coming to the kingdom of God is come, you know, it's coming to an end. And these are even his disciples. This is whom he's talking about. Because they didn't know the big time plan. For them, they had just walked with Jesus and what, so, you know, so it's coming to an end. He's going to die. I think by this time they had come to accept the fact that he was going to die. But they think it ends there. Then he tells them no. Then he gives them this parable specifically to show them that that's not the purpose of it all. Go ahead. He says, now go to King James. King James, starting from verse 12. He said, therefore a certain man, nobleman, went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now he's talking about himself. Came from heaven to come and receive for himself a kingdom here and return and go back. Okay, go ahead. And he called his 10 servants. Now you see, these are our 10. They have their 10. Who of one mind to give the kingdom to the beast. Now we have our 10 here who of one mind to give the kingdom to the Lord. It says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now just remember that. Occupy until I come. So in other words, get busy occupying. In other words, get busy getting territory until I come. Now, each one has to be busy getting territory somewhere until he comes in some place. And collectively, we create a world where we say, now we are ready for you, Lord. Come and reign over this world. Because the kingdom is here. He came and got it here spiritually. Then says, now I've gone. Now I've left you all you need to go and cave out your territory. The same way the 10 of the devil are trying to cave out their territory. Kings without a kingdom yet. But they are kings without a kingdom. Now in a way we are also kings. And we have to make a kingdom in different areas in this world for the Lord. And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds. And said, occupy until I come. Now everybody has to be somewhere in the business of occupying something. If you are in the end time church as you are, and you're not trying to occupy something, you're lost. You are offside. We don't even need VAR to determine that you're offside. Because the time we are in is strictly for occupying. You have to be busy trying to occupy something. Some territory that you've set out. That I'm going to go for this territory. Now, that is what is going to. So he says, occupy until I come. Stay in the business of occupying. Now, this is full-time work. That means, if you've occupied a certain territory, you're supposed to try to occupy more and more. Now, I want to tell you this. Try telling this to the typical old church who even think that, and I meet them all the time, and who think you're backslidden because you've gone into politics. But they don't want to accept that politics determines all their decisions. And that's how the church is. Because they are offside. I remember in 2016, Trump embraced the church, come, what? He was surrounded with pastors. All of us surrounded by pastors. And pastors had a big say in what he did. I remember two pastors went to Turkey and they were preaching the gospel and they were arrested for preaching the gospel. And then the pastors went to and told Trump, our colleagues have been arrested in Turkey, an Islamic country. Then Trump said, don't worry, I'm going to get them released. So he told the Turkish president that release those people. Then the Turkish president gave him that crap of we're a sovereign nation and all that and all that. He instituted like 10 economic measures, very fast, which we are going to bring Turkey's economy down in 3 months. The president of Turkey called and said, yeah, they're on the plane coming to America. Now, and that's what he does. The other day, when he was deporting migrants, the Colombian president, also another one, married to a transgender. You see, that's a ritual. Because if somebody is a man, and instead of marrying a woman, He marries a man who became a woman. Like, how stupid can you be? But you see, it's a ritual. Now, the Colombian president said that we are not going to accept the plane of immigrants. Now, this is how manpower is fit, you guys. Don't fool yourselves. Don't fool yourselves. Don't fool yourselves. The guy was playing golf. Then they told him that the Colombian president has said that it is not going to accept the plane of immigrants. Now, I found this interesting. The guy got on his phone in between the golf and wrote the sanctions he was going to put on Colombia. Eh? And said, we are going to do this, we are going to cut off this, we are going to do what? Then he says, we are going to put all travel sanctions on all government officials. We are closing down the embassy, the visa section of the embassy. We are doing what? Before he had moved two walls in the golf course, the Colombian president had said, actually, we are sending a plane to pick up the... we are sending a plane to pick them up ourselves. Previously, it was America taking them. Now he said, don't bother. We shall come for them ourselves. Now, anyway, so he says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. I was still telling you, that was 2016 to 2020 when Trump surrounded him with the church. But then the churches can sometimes be full of stupid people. Then can you imagine the things we are saying? How can we what? Somebody who has been divorced 3 times. Oh, what? He's not righteous. He's not what? So he just dumped them. Now they have no say whatsoever. The only person who has any say with him is what's that old evangelist, the Baptist called? Franklin Graham, the son of the late Billy Graham. That's the only one whom he listens to. All the other pastors whom he listened to, he threw them out because they don't understand the time they are living in. Now, what say do they have? They don't have any. If they had come back and said, we are going to support you, they would be having a say. But they don't. He said they are untrustworthy. Actually, most of them said, we are not even going to vote. Because he's not holy, he's not righteous, he's not what? As if David was holy. Whom God won as 10 generations later. There was nothing holy about David. Absolutely nothing. Like, but then he's the example of what life is like, supposed to be like today. What was good about him? What if you heard that I killed somebody because I impregnated their wife? But David did that. And God says, God says, because 10 generations later, because of my servant David. So you see, God wasn't looking at it like that. There were some other parameters he was looking at, not that. Clearly. And now, of course, you have to go and find out what those parameters are. It was about territorial. It was about territory. God told Abraham, this land from the river to there, I have given it to your descendants. As I told you the last time I was here, the children of Israel did not go and capture the land and chase out all the people. The only time when Israel controlled all the land that God promised Abraham was during King David. He's the one who captured all the land that God had promised to Abraham and had it under Israel. So now, the scripture says, God says you're righteous. That is the righteousness of God. Where you have been sent to do something and you do it. Now the righteousness is going to come from how much territory have you captured. Praise the Lord. How much territory? In whatever sector. How much have you occupied? Who are you sitting waiting for him to come? Now these are our 10 people. Occupy it till I come. Go ahead. Then he says, now remember, this is different from the other parable. The other parables of, you know, which are similar. But this is different. Because in the other ones, he says to some he gave 5, to others some he gave 2, and one he gave 1. Okay? But here it says he gave all of them 1 each. So all of them start with the same thing. This is different. Go back and see. So it's not Jesus repeating the other parables which he had given before. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And said unto them, occupy till I come. So each one got 1 pound. Or one, I don't know, mina or mina. Huh? Whatever. M-I-N-A. According to the other translation. Okay, go ahead. Occupy till I come. Verse 14. Then he says, But his citizens hated him. And sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. In other words, he's telling you to go and occupy hostile territory. Places where people don't like him. You're not going to go and preach and people celebrate because you're, they take, they don't like Jesus, but you're supposed to go and take over that territory. That's why he says, I send you as lambs among what? As sheep among what? Wolves. Because that's the principle. Sheep among wolves. They don't like you, and they would want to devour you. But he's sending you go there. And he says the citizens hated him and sent a message to him saying, we're not going to accept that you rule over us. We'll not have this man to reign over us. Go ahead. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, how did he receive the kingdom? When he was away. It was his people who received the kingdom for him. You understand? The same way the other 10 of the devil want to hand it over to the Antichrist. Also here, we are the ones who received the kingdom for him. And now we do not receive it. He receives it. But we are the ones who are going to cave up territory. And then he has received it. Then he comes. Now he's rewarding you for being a servant, a faithful servant. And say, I sent you, and you went and got this territory. So now I'm going to give you more territory. This is what it says. And it came to pass that when he had returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Okay? So it says, occupy. Then here it says, trading. Then in the New King James, it says, do business until I come. Go there, New King James, and see what it says. Where it says, occupy, it says, and deliver to them 10 minas, and say to them, do business. So, they translated as occupy. The other one is translated as do business. It's the same. You don't occupy by sitting on pews and doing nothing. Okay? You don't. Last week I wasn't here because I was busy trying to occupy. Amen? Now, and there will be times when I will not be here because I'm trying to occupy. Now we are not, you're not going to, you see the world is the one which wants to keep you in one place, that we knew you to be this. So stay there. Stay in your lane. There are no lanes here. We are expanding. It is springtime and it's time to war. There is no lane. You can be, let me tell you, there is no lane. You can be one thing and you turn out to be another. Like you can choose, I just want to go here. And if you feel led by the Lord, you just go there. So he called, so he says do business. The other one says occupy. Now, let's go ahead on in this, whatever. There's something I want to show you at the end. Okay, go ahead, verse 16. Then came the first saying, Master, I've earned 10 minas with the one you gave me. And he said to him, well done. Okay, go ahead, these ones you know. I want to go to verse 21. Okay, this is the lazy guy. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. By the way, let me tell you, there are so many people who are like this, who believe in safety. Safety. Like, I'm not going to lose. So they just do nothing. And the thing tells them they're wicked. Because everybody who goes out and does something, taking risks, even stupid risks, they will understand that the grace of God covers even risky things. As long as you say, okay, I'm going for this territory, and in your mind you say, I'm going to capture this territory for our kingdom. You will make a mistake and it will not hurt you. It will not. Somehow you will come out of it like a superstar. You know, you see those movies where there are 10 people shooting at one guy and somehow the bullets are all flying by. But when he shoots one bullet, it hits 3 people at one. So like you'll be the superstar. That's how it is. Because now the hand of God is on you. Anyway, for I feared you because you are an austere man, you collect what you did not deposit. And you reap what you did not sow. But I didn't want to read the other than I wanted to read. Go to verse 23. Verse 24. 25. Seems we have run out. But this, for I say unto you, that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, never before has this scripture been so true as now. You try, if you want to lose everything you have, you try to protect and say, I'm not going to take a risk. And you cave out your safe space. You will see how you lose it. Very, very, very fast. Very fast. And then, Because the time calls for people to step out and take risks. Those who do it will just be gaining and gaining and gaining and gaining. And they will not even, like, somehow they'll get addicted to winning, 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 winning. And they'll seem to accumulate so much. Whereas the risk, you know, people who are averse to risk, who are scared of doing things outside of their comfort zone, they'll discover even your small thing has been taken away. Say, I'm nange. I cannot be a part of whatever. Because I might lose my job. You wait and see how you lose it. And I'm telling you, because I know some people are, like, people are so easy to just, I mean, they are fearful people. Fearful people. They will come, as soon as there is a slight shaking somewhere, they will run for safe cover. And say, they don't want to associate with what? With me. There was a time I was put in prison, and somebody was telling someone, I want to go and see the watchman in, you know, Chireka. Then the pastor said, no. You stay home and pray in tongues. Like, there are people who choose to be cowards. But then, when the time there comes, they will be the first people to want to come and what? Partake. But I'll tell you this, Jesus gave a principle, and it's biblical. He says that those who partake in my sufferings will partake in my glory. Biblical. The Lord. Those who want to wait until the glory, then they show up. you know, people think they are sharp. But anyway, we'll see. For I said to you that everyone who has will be given. And for me, who does not have. And I'm talking this about all sorts of people here. Because everyone here will come and want to do something which has a bit of risk. If it doesn't have risk, then it's not worth it. You're in safe space. And you're not going to occupy any territory in safe space. You just try to say, leave me here, this is my area. The world is not built like that, by the way. It is never built like that. You go and buy a piece of land and leave it. Somebody will come and enter inside. And they just want to fight. Isn't it? Hey, you'll find somebody, he knows the boundary is there. But you'll just say, phew, next thing he's here. You say, but what's wrong with this man? But that's how the world is. People want to fight. So if you don't want to fight, you say, I'm a nang. Then you've lost territory. Anyway, so he says that to everyone who has more will be given, and for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Never before has this thing been true. Because every day we risk what we have trying to expand to occupy. There's a risk involved. Praise the Lord. There's a what? Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Verse 27. But bring here those enemies of mine, of the World Economic Forum, of the Eat the Bugs, who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. Now this is where we are at right now. Praise the Lord. I have enjoyed watching World Economic Forum. You know, people talking that you see, they are losers. Eh? Like I wish you knew what it was like in 2021. Even Prince Charles had come out. He was. Have you seen him anywhere close now? He's back in hiding. They had come out. They knew this was their time. Prince Charles came and, you know, was talking big and what. But man, God has messed them up. And make no mistake, this all, like, the whole thing is done spiritual. Anyway, so now it is up to us to create an environment in which we can go and present it and say, Lord, come. That's why the scripture says in, I think, 2 Peter, it says that looking forward to and hastening the return of our Lord, saying that, let's read the scripture. It's in 2 Peter. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Start from verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Go ahead. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Go ahead. Looking for. And the problem is, when you tell Christians holy conduct, they they take it to mean all sorts of things. That eliminate Moses, that eliminate David, that eliminate Apostle Paul. You understand? Eh? Moses, the one who murdered an Egyptian. David, you know what he did. You understand? That's not what he's talking about. So he says, looking for and hastening, in other words, making quick the coming of the day of the of God, or the day of God. So now it is up to us to make sure that we are caving out territory. Now some people will hear the cry and go and cave out territory, others will not. But every sector, we have to have a footprint for the Lord. And say, now this sector, in my sector, I think we are ready for the Lord. But right now we are waiting for other people to be ready also. But in mind we are ready, sort of. I'm thinking about that. So that has got to be the mindset. How are you in your place, in your area of business? How are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Praise the Lord. In the book of 2 Samuel, there was a time when David went out, was chased from Jerusalem by his son. And then there was a war between Absalom and David. And then Absalom was killed. But now David had left the throne and run away from Jerusalem and even crossed the Jordan and gone away. But Absalom was killed. So now the issue was, how is David going to come back into Jerusalem? Now you see these scriptures, you have to know that it's talking about the Lord coming back to the church. It's not just, because he talks a lot and says, then David, told the people of Judah, those were his brethren. He told them, are you the ones who are going to delay my return to Jerusalem? Then it says somewhere, as he was convincing them to allow him to come. Because he wasn't going to come back, the war had ended. Now the people had to receive him, to accept him now as their king, and then receive him. But somehow it was the rest of Israel who seemed to be okay with it. But Judah, his brethren, were the ones whom he expected to be the ones to be ready to receive him. Okay, that's okay. But Absalom, whom we anointed over us, has died in battle. Now therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing back the king? Go ahead. So King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house? Since the words of all Israel have come to the king, to his very house. In other words, the whole of Israel seems to have agreed. Why is Judah the last one to accept that let the king come back? Now he's talking from somewhere, trying to influence proceedings from across the Jordan. So he says, go ahead, verse 12. Then he says, you are my brethren. You are my bone and my flesh. You are my bone and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king? Go ahead. And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if you are not commander of the army before me continually in place of Joab. Go ahead. So he swayed the hearts of all the men of Judah, just as the heart of one man. Now this is spiritual. You cannot sway even if three people to make them think as one. But a whole tribe, it's not possible unless it's the Lord who does it. You know how people are very, very complicated. You will sit down and discuss something with people, even if you're three people. And somehow, when you step out of there, each one has his own mind. So it says, he swayed the hearts of all men of Judah, just as the heart of one man. So that they sent this word to the king, return, you and all your servants. In other words, return, Lord. Come back to to the earth. We are ready for you. Go ahead. That's what it is. Then the king returned and came to the Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to escort the king across the Jordan. If you read this passage, it is very deep in meaning. Because it's not just talking about David crossing. It's all very, very powerful. But what I wanted there is how he swayed the heart of all the tribe of Judah as one man. Now, this is what we are going to see in these last days. When a church which seems to be so disjointed. You see, our enemies, the scripture says, with one mind, they want to give the kingdom to the Antichrist. They are of one mind. Now come to us. Are we of one mind? Hardly. But you see here, it says, David swayed the kings. Now, who is going to sway? The Lord. David is representing here the Lord. He's going to sway us in one way, and then you find the whole church is working towards. And this is happening now. He's working towards the return of the Lord. And now all the differences that were there over small things, because people never saw the big picture, seem to melt away. When the Lord sways the heart of the church as one man, the whole tribe of Judah. Now, how does that happen? Go to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "For then I'll restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord." Now, the way we are going to actually end up as one is when the whole church embraces tongues as never before. The pure language, which people are praying and they don't exactly know what they are praying about, but they are speaking mysteries, the scripture says. And in those mysteries, the church is being swayed in one direction. This is the pure language which talks about. And then with one accord, all of them prepare themselves and say, now we are ready. We are going to get there. We are all in the business of occupying territory. And it's not occupying territory so that for any other reason apart from the fact that we want to present the earth the same way those people want to present the earth and say, tell the devil and the Antichrist, now also us, we are kings, as to use the terminology there, without a kingdom. But kings who have been given the ability to go and carve out a kingdom and then present our kingdoms. The scripture says we all lay our thrones before him. We present our kingdoms, all my kingdom of farming here. Then it says actually he will sit in Jerusalem and people will come from all across the world and come to pay homage to him in the millennial rule. And he says anyone who doesn't come, their territory will not get rain and things like that. So where he's actually a king on earth, and he's going to be that. You see, in the millennial rule, Jesus is going to rule on earth. On earth when people are seeing him. And all leaders of all jurisdictions will go, it says, every month to Jerusalem to worship for 1,000 years. And it says you rule over them with an iron fist. In other words, there is no what? No jokes. Chiboko. We are going there, you know, eh? Like, there are consequences for not going there. So you go and say, I am so and so, the king of this place. I have come to pay homage. Then he says, okay, you have been accepted. And that's what it's going to be like in the millennial rule. Soon. So he says, and shall be that whichever of the families of earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. So he's in control. But of course there are people who think they can seed rain and make rain fall and what. They're trying to play God. And they get it from here. That's why they try so hard to use technology to do all the things that God said you'd do. But my point is, one special language. Go back to Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 9. It says, then I will restore to the people a pure language. Somebody say pure language. Now, when we see and pray in tongues, we are actually doing something more than you think in this end time. We are bringing something together where we will also be ready and in one accord to present the kingdom to the Lord. Now we are ready. Now you can come, Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we are all called in the business of occupation. Occupation. Occupy. Not occupation. What's your occupation? Like, what's your occupation? Yeah, whatever. A bank. That's rubbish. That's rubbish. Occupation is space. What space do you have? In that car bank, would you have any space which is yours, or you're just there following orders? Now, if you don't understand that, you can actually decide that I want to carve this space out for the Lord, and I am going to make this happen. And then you start, and then you say, in my banking sector, we are ready to receive the Lord. But it seems some people in other sectors are still lagging behind, so the Lord is not coming yet. But for us, we are ready to receive Him. Praise the Lord. And we are ready to order it according to Isaiah, that the government is upon His shoulder, and to order it, to put it in order according to His order, not according to the order of the earth. And that's our duty. Praise the Lord. Now, if you don't wake up every day and say, what am I occupying? Where am I occupying? I mean, where am I trying to occupy? What space am I trying to occupy? It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what student, what. There has to be some space that you are in the business of occupying. And continually trying to increase, take one step ahead. We have so many incredible promises. Every place that you've set your foot, I've given it to you. Like so many promises. Now, do you have any idea how many times I've used that scripture? And I say, I've put my foot here. Nobody's going to take me away from here. And I stand on it. And it all, like, you have to know that we are in the business of occupying. These are the days of David. So every territory that the Lord has for us has to be occupied before the return of the Lord. Amen? And heaven will hold him up, as the scripture says, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, heaven must receive him. Go to verse 20. Start from verse 20. It says, and that he may send Jesus Christ who has preached to you before, whom heaven must receive or must hold until the times of restoration. Praise the Lord. This is a time of restoration. And heaven will receive the Lord until we can come and say everything has been put in order. Now come. So the other big man with a head like, you know, was right on that account. The only time in his life he has ever been right about anything. Man, anyway. The guy breathes like a hippo, You can think he's snoring, yet he's awake. So anyway, but maybe I have no more authority to comment on people's size. But then at least for me, I breathe properly. And at least for me, I believe in the Lord. I'm not a witch. So whom heaven must keep until the time for the complete... Thank you for bringing this version. Time for the complete restoration of all things about which God promised throughout the mouth of his holy prophets from the ancient time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we are occupying. Now, I wish you'd wake up and say, now what am I in the business of occupying today or tomorrow or the day after? What am I trying to occupy? And you say, I'm trying to take over. I'm trying to occupy. Produce. Amen? And that means you are going to run other people out of business. Praise the Lord. You have to have that thing of... let me tell you something. Do you see how these people of the world operate? I wish the children of God had this attitude. That's what it means to occupy. You know somebody who is on top, we are number three, but I want to get to number two, then number one. Then, like, occupying. Now, sometimes you can think this is... It's too ruthless. But that's how it's supposed to be. Occupy till I come. Now, the classic Christian will have one car outlet, make some car money, and buy a Range Rover, and then be on the building committee in their church. And that's it. And like, they don't, like, that desire to go and expand and become, you know, is not there. Even people are a brand. People are a brand. A person is a brand. A name is a brand. Do you know that Sheraton Hotel? It's run by, not by Sheraton, you know. Sheraton is just a name. But you have to have that S on your hotel. The last I knew, that was like 10 years ago. They were paying $1 million. Just to have that car S on you. So people built a brand, Sheraton. So you build your hotel and go and tell them, we are going to pay you money to call it your name. That's called dominion, isn't it? Imagine you build your hotel and then you go and tell them, that how much are you charging us for us to call my hotel by your name? And then they say, pay $2 million a year. Then you pay. Because somebody built a brand. Now, can we ever think like that? Anyway, by the grace of God, if we pray in tongues, the pure language, God will wash our minds out and we'll start thinking the right way. Because the way I see most people, very, very few Christians ever think dominion like that. Where like, I am here, I'm not here to survive. I'm not here to earn a living. I'm here to dominate. Who is the next person next to me? This one. I'm not going to rest until I pull him down. And then you're number 5. Then the next you're number 4. Then you're number 3. And then you're moving. And then you're occupying. And then very soon, you turn and say, now, in my business, I am ready to receive the Lord. Because I am number 1. And I've presented this business to him. Lord, this business, we are number 1. Now, here you are. That's what it means to occupy. But it takes something to be like that. It takes hard work. I wish the people of the kingdom like behaved like this. But man, we settle for solitude. So we are the ones who are keeping the Lord from returning. Because he has to return when all things are in order. Praise the Lord. Have you understood what I'm saying? So every place you put your foot and say, I have to be dominating this area. And I have to be number 1. Then we are ready. Amen? Okay.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabo Road to connect to the anointing upon the Watchman. You can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.